Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show where we are making this world a polite place to live one person at a time. We cover topics ranging from acts of kindness to handling pet peeves. If you are listening live, call 347-324-3295. Now here is your host, etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. I'm Miss Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady. Today is Sunday, September 22nd, 2013, and we are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. Our topic this evening is School Etiquette Part 4. We are going to continue our discussion on how to make this a successful school year. We have so much useful information coming up. You may want to go ahead and prepare to take notes. Well, of course, the name of the show again is What is Etiquette Anyway? Let's talk about what etiquette is. It's simply a set of rules of behavior. By using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning tip. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these requirements became requirements of behavior everywhere. Kudos to Charles I and II. Well, I'd like to first of all say good evening to our listeners, and we certainly want to say a special hello to our new listeners this evening. Welcome to the What is Etiquette Anyway family. Well, due to popular demand, our school etiquette series continues, and we welcome back this evening Barbara Lashley, and this evening she will share her Big 8 parenting tips to help put you and your children on the path to having a successful school year. And also, this information will certainly assist in you being a great parent and to be able to support your children over this school year as well. And, of course, last year she was there, last week she gave us some great information. And, Barbara, are you there? Okay, Barbara? Hello, Barbara, can you hear me? Okay, we are having a little technical difficulty trying to get her on, but I am certain that we will have her on with such great information this afternoon. Okay, Barbara, can you hear me? Okay, we'll see if we can get her maybe to hang up and give us a call back in. Not quite sure what's going on with our switchboard this evening. Let's see. What I want to do, I'm going to go ahead, while we're trying to get her on, I'm going to go ahead and go to our callers. And good evening. Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? Hello. Okay, hello, can you hear me? Okay, we apologize. For those of you that are on hold, if you would go ahead and hang up and call back in, 347-324-3295, 347-324-3295. If you guys want to go ahead and hang up and then give us a call back in, that will be great. Not quite sure what's going on. But once again, talking about school etiquette, this is part four, so over the last 3 weeks, we've talked about everything from making sure that your children have hygienic restrooms in the public schools. We also talked about communicating with the teachers and making sure that at the beginning of the school year, you go ahead and certainly meet the teachers. You want to feel free to go into the classrooms I know last week Barbara mentioned going into the classroom and making sure that, you know, you feel welcome when you go in, because, you know, that would be great for you. Let's see if we can pick her back up. Barbara, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Okay, wonderful. Yes. Not quite. Don't know what's been going on with our switchboard, but I am so glad you are here now. Barbara, for those persons who may not have had an opportunity to listen to our show on last week, if you would just kind of tell them, just, you know, give them something briefly about you, and we'll kind of go from there.
Okay. Again, my name is Barbara Lashley, and again, thank you for having me. I am originally from Montgomery, Alabama, here in Atlanta for the last 12 years as an educator in various capacities. That of worked with a lot of comprehensive school reform models, guidance counselor, and also in some principalships, and now I'm working as an academy leader for an academy for small schools. And it's just, I'm a mother of two sons. I almost say two generations, in fact. I have a 17-year-old and I have a 33-year-old, so that's twice a spread. So I, that's another reason why I'm so interested in the things that can always make us be better parents. So that's just the quick and dirty of who I am. And again, thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. We certainly had to give you a call to get you back on, because we still had information people wanted to know. And I know that you have what is called Big 8 Parenting Tips. And I'm somehow getting some static or some feedback. Okay, I think it's clear now.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, yes. Uh-huh. And we do apologize, audience, for having a few technical difficulties, but we're going to proceed anyway. If you would, I certainly want to make sure that you get in your 8 big parenting tips this evening. So if you want to go ahead and get started, we will certainly be excited about the information.
Okay. All right. And let me just say that these are just 8 things that I have personally even taken on as a parent, and that there are nothing that's new under the sun. You know, it's come through various people that I've read books and different folks out there and research. There are a lot of good information. There's a lot of good information out there, but it's a matter of crystallizing it so that it kind of works for you. So I just wanted to preface that some of the things are very authentic that I'm talking about, with a little bit of twisting in the way I discovered it, but let me just preface it by saying that it is through massive research that I've done. And the first of the Big 8, I say, is love, and that's to show love. And a lot of times people think that that's an easy thing to do, but I say to parents, the greatest way that we can show love for our children is that we love ourselves first. And a lot of times that's the part that we forget to do. So loving ourselves by taking good care of ourselves, making sure we get enough sleep, fun to exercise, all of those things that are very difficult and challenging in today's world of being a parent. But it definitely, not only does it make us, it puts us in a better position to love our children and to pour out. If we don't pour in and become overflowing with that, we don't really have anything else to give out. And so we're kind of depleted ourselves. And so the whole idea is also providing a model. Because what we're doing in parenthood is we're actually setting stones for a generation of our own family, a legacy. And so we're actually teaching our kids that in order to love your children, you must love yourself first. So that could be a whole talk show in itself and a whole different presentation. But that's the first one.
I'm sorry, Barbara, I still hear a little static in the background. I'm not quite sure where it's coming from, but I'm trying to make sure that it's crystal clear so that your information certainly can be heard.
I was wondering if, let me change up some things and see if it happens. Okay, I'm going to come. Is that better? Can you
It's much better. Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. All right. I was on my earpiece, so that might help not to do
okay.
that. The second one is to communicate effectively, and I do say effectively. I know most of us feel like, well, we talk to our kids. I mentioned last week about the importance of, and we can't always do it, but it definitely is a great goal to have, is to make dinner time the talk time, is to make sure that I'm a big stickler about that, that this is not a service station, so we don't come in and fill up and everybody go to your corners, or we sit down and over a meal, kind of check in with our kids and find out what is the news of the day. Tell me something good about what happened to you today or what you really felt good about today in that. And then I say be attentive. There is, I've had a great opportunity of working a parent program for the NBA, and there's a gentleman by the name of Dr. Earl Suttles, who I would be remiss if I didn't mention his name. Several books out there, but one of the things that he teaches us and we do in that session, those sessions, is that we talk to parents about ladder. If you can remember ladder, which is it teaches you to kind of listen for the student's language or our children's language, and then we respond to it. But ladder, first of all, is we have to listen. And that doesn't mean that having that conversation while we're cooking and we're doing the dishes and the child is sitting there and we're not making eye contact or doing five or six different things while the child is actually talking to us. It is being presently and actively engaged and attentive in the moment. Being present in the moment so that the child has our undivided attention. The A is for ask questions. So we don't want to go in with any preconceived ideas. If we're seeking to really communicate effectively with our children, we have to be willing to ask the right questions. Ask mm-hmm. questions for clarity, ask questions for if you want information, but asking questions. And the D is very important as well. Don't interrupt. A lot of times our children start talking. I had to catch myself, especially with boys. I had to wait. I had to listen. I had to ask a question. And then I actually had to sit and wait for the answer. And I didn't want to interrupt. Let them finish saying whatever it is that they have to say, because there is time at the end of the ladder to actually be able to input. And so don't interrupt. And the next D is don't change the subject. I know that I had a bad habit of doing that. We start the conversation, and, of course, something comes up, and you go, oh, yeah, by the way, that reminds me of last week when you were doing. The subject is what it is. The subject is whatever the child is deeming important at that time. And so sticking to the subject, not changing the subject, is very important. Then we have the E. And that is for emotions. We have to leave our emotions out of it. When we're getting upset about whatever it is that's taking place or what we're trying to talk about, be it a smaller child that maybe has had a bad day in school or a teenager that has breached the curfew, we got to leave our emotions out of it, because what I've found, too, as a parent, is that oftentimes when my emotions are involved in anything, I don't make the best decisions. And I don't ask the best questions, and I don't respond, you know, the best way in an effective manner. So E is for emotions. Leave them out. And then, of course, the R is for us to be respectful of that child's point of view. I mean, you know, they may not be right. We're still the parent. We still know. We still have the wisdom because, as I said last week, no matter how old they get, they'll never be older than we are. And so the whole idea, though, is that we are modeling for our children what we want them, the way that we want them to be toward us. I am respectful of you. I am listening. I am looking at you. I am asking questions. I am not interrupting you, and I am not changing the subject. So this is your time, because if we make them comfortable with coming to us, they will come to us more and more, and with more intense subjects each time, it gets to be a little bit. And I always say this, it's not on the ladder, and before I leave the R, let me just say that they are not respectful as well, but also be resolved in holding on to your child no matter what, and just believing in them. And be resolved in that. No matter what they do, no matter what they say, no matter what happens, we're resolved in that. We're not going to let go. We're just not going to let go. And then the big five, I talk a lot about, you know, five. The big five. Who are the other people?
Did you have a question about the...
Yeah, I just wanted to interrupt you if I can, just for a moment. When you were talking about communicating effectively, it is so important that just the nugget that you gave about, you know, making dinner time talk time, and there are so many families that just do not sit down and eat together.
Right.
You know,
right.
Janie comes in at one time, and she grabs her food and goes to her room and eats, and then Johnny comes in at a different time, and, you know, he goes in front of the television, and then, you know, Mom, she's there. She already ate, you know, because the kids had after-school programs that they came a little later, so she was hungry, so she ate while she was cooking, and then, you know, Dad is working late, and he says, go ahead and eat without me. So that is just so important.
It's so difficult. It's so difficult. But, you know, here's the thing.
You got to do it.
You can try, and here's the reality of the thing. You're not going to be able to do it every night. I'm not able to do it every night. It may not be anything formal, sit down. It may be that if we've gotten a burger or whatever, that we're going to sit right there. If it's sitting at the counter, we're going to eat that together, whatever.
Together.
I try not to. I wait until I can do that. But the big thing is that we try to push this whole idea of Sunday dinner. And it's kind of like that's the time when most people are off, most people can agree to. And you know, the family, even with my kids, when I don't do it, when I go through these stretches of busyness that I miss that Sunday, you know, or when I do it, again, I find out, oh, my God, Mom, you cook, oh, this is great. Doesn't matter, it could be spaghetti, but it's a matter that there is a culture that we are building within our family. And I tell you, it taps right back into some of the things that you talked to us so much about, and that is etiquette. What a wonderful time to teach etiquette, even in conversation about, you know, how to listen, even about your spoons, your forks, and all the eating etiquettes that you need. I mean, you can kind of just wrap all those things into one just when you find that time to communicate effectively and make that dinner time, you know, make dinner time the talk time or whatever.
That's
right. It could be breakfast. Don't forget about the ride in the car. I mean, I just, you know, I really, in the morning, I had to really get to the point going back to the ladder where in the afternoons when I pick my son up, that I am attentive and I'm not on the phone conducting business or I'm not doing this. Because if you're on your phone, they have their headsets in their ears. And so everybody's riding, but nobody's communicating. And so what a great way to communicate and find out, leave some nuggets. We used to do a word of the week and just challenge your kids and just put things out there. Great time to utilize at times since we got to be on the road anyway. So we in Atlanta really know about that. I'm going to move on for the sake of time. I don't want to monopolize the time. But the big five that I talked about is five people outside of you that your children can actually trust. Who are the five? Who are the big five? Who are five folk outside of yourself that your kids feel comfortable enough that if you haven't quite built that open type of communication with your kids where you feel like they can come to you, they feel like they can come to you with anything. I've gotten to that point, and it's because you start early with just slow walking it down. But still, they need that big five. And if it's not a big five, maybe it's three. And those are those people that you trust, people that you know if you're not there, they have the like mind as yours for the most part, and that if your child felt comfortable enough to go to them, that they would be able to give your child, first of all, the right advice, and secondly, communicate with you about that, you know, with, in the confidence of their child. And that just does wonders, and sometimes you have to have that conversation with the child, just, you know, who else do you trust outside of me? If you had to go to someone and talk. For some kids, for my child, in many instances, it was his coach. Or maybe it's an aunt or an uncle. Maybe it's a mentor at the school.
Maybe it's your minister. Maybe it's different people. But who are the big five? Because they kind of help you to rally around your child and kind of make sure that you are staying close with everything that it is. Because I always say to parents that their peers' voices are louder than ours ever could be. And so with that being said, you want to have all those avenues out there so that it's not always the easiest. We may not be the easiest person to talk to about certain things initially. And so having that big five, or if it's big three, however many people, but I always say to my kids, no more than five, because I think that that's a good rounded number to get the trust that your child needs. And then number four is getting involved in the child's school activities. This is a big one. And with the working world today, and with myself having been a single parent for a while, and, you know, it can be very challenging. I always say that we as parents, and this is a session that I've done with parents before, to talk about that there are actually at least three types of parent involvement, or we find ourselves falling into three categories. We're either the visitor parent, we can be the partner parent, or the engaged parent. Now, the visitor parent may be the parent who only comes up to the school when they're called, most time when something happens, or if it's an open house PTA at the beginning of the year and we may never get a chance to come back again. That could be to various reasons, not always to the parents' fault. It could be as a school or whatever that we haven't made parents feel comfortable enough to come in, and that's important. Maybe we've had not such positive experiences ourselves as parents with school, and therefore we don't feel comfortable coming in. But that's our job as schools, to make parents come in and make them feel comfortable when they are, wherever they are. Or maybe if we're a partner parent, I always say that's kind of me, because I'm not able to go to my child's school and sit. I'm not able to always go to the programs that are put on in a day because I'm with other people's children or I'm working. And so I just have to partner up the best way that I can. And perhaps that might mean that I might chaperone for a field trip, or maybe it means that I might be the one to send email, or maybe at some point in time, you know, I can just volunteer for the concession stand. Those are just ways, and I think it's important for us to assist parents in knowing how they can be involved, because the engaged parents are those parents who are probably non-workers. They are just housewives, house dads, or whomever, who are able to go up frequently to the school, to volunteer frequently, to sit in on the classrooms and so forth, who are at the meetings and that kind of thing. But I say that a lot of times our circumstances will cause us, sometimes we can move in and out of either one of those based on our own personal circumstances. So I think it's important for schools to help parents to know how. I'm a visitor parent. I've been a visitor parent. I haven't been comfortable coming up. How can they help? And one thing that I told parents last week, and I'm going to tap in on that this week, especially in high schools, set up a meeting with the guidance counselor to see where your child is. If they're in ninth grade, if they're in 10th grade, especially 10th grade, great place to start. You can turn it around now. If you wait until 11th grade and the 12th grade, it's almost kind of late in the game, because you want to make sure that you understand what your child's roadmap is for getting out of school and being successful, you know, once they graduate or once they're out in the career or the college world. So those are just some important things to remember. And then the five is show your children that they are valued and their levels of responsibility. It's by releasing the levels of responsibility and really looking at our children and finding their strengths. And the one thing, I could go on and on about that, but the one thing that I do want to make about showing them their value, is making sure that when we do have more than one sibling, that we never compare one to the other.
Our say that again, please.
Yeah, when we do have siblings, please, whatever we do, let's not make the comments. Let's try to avoid from comparing one to the other. Gee, you know, Susie always made A's when she was in school, or I wish you'd be more like Cynthia. She's done it, or Johnny, he's done this. Or, you know, he was always on the honor roll. I can't see why it takes away from a child's self-esteem. So what we can actually do, and I tell my kids, and even the worst person, try to look for a strength in that person. Mm-hmm. When you can't find a strength, find an exception. The thing about it is that people only grow from the love that we show them and from the positiveness that we see in them and that we respond to. No one has ever grown from negativity. So what we want to do with that, every child is individual, and because they are our children and they came from us, they have a strength, and it's up to us to find out what it is and to build upon it. And so that's a real pet peeve of mine. With that, if we have athletes, this is a big plug for me. Our athletes want us to be their parents, not their fans. Other people would be their fans. And so what they really want, our kids really want, is our time. So keep them safe. Keep them safe because, as I said, peer pressure talks louder than we ever did. And I'm going to share one thing. I asked my son's permission, my 17-year-old, before I shared this, but we have what we call a code red. Now, our code red means that I have an open communication with him at this point, that I feel like he feels that he can come to me with anything. You try to find their friends. But what if they get in a situation that doesn't align with what you taught them? What if they find themselves at a party and things get out of hand, or kids start doing things that they know that we've spoken about that are not good for you? Our idea is, or what if you just get dropped off somewhere if you're not driving and you don't feel welcome at somebody's house? What do you do then? He picks up the phone and he said, "Mom, code red." I know at that moment that I don't ask any questions. I'm not going to say where you are, except for I know where he is. That's probably where are you, to make sure that we are in sync with that. I immediately know that I need to go. I'm coming there in X amount of minutes. Be outside. Then we talk about what is going on inside that house. So what happened at the party? Why did you feel it necessary to do a code red? And what I do is that helps your child to save face with. We have to help them save face because it's their world and they got to live in it, you know. And so that's just one of the things that we do to try to make sure that I feel that he's safe. If you feel uncomfortable in any way, if you feel like someone doesn't want you in a place, you call, and whatever I'm doing, wherever I am, I get a code red, I know I got to go. Even if he texts it to me, if he says code red, I don't ask any questions. I text back, "Where are you?" and I'm gone. Then we talk about the difference between friends, buddies, and associates. And
Barbara, I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt you just for a moment. Guys, if you are listening live to us, our show is going to come to an end, our live stream, but we're going to continue. And so what we'll do is we're going to continue the show, and for you to end up hearing the entire show, you'll be able to go back and listen to the archive. But for those of you that are listening live, thank you so much for listening. We invite you to go back and listen to the archive because we are going to continue on the back side of the show. So we're going to go ahead and keep going, and we will lose you guys in about 2 minutes of the live stream, okay? Okay, go right ahead, Barbara.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Well, you know, I know that people may have questions about particular ones, and I'm trying not to elaborate and get so passionate about it. But I'm really at number 7, which is boundaries and expectations. This is another big one, too. With just parenting tips, kids want boundaries. Teenagers want to know that they have a curfew. Children need chores. And we have to challenge ourselves because we don't have the chores that we used to have. But a lot of times we think, well, I want them to have it better than what I had it. And therefore we just but then the way that we had it is the reason that many of us have the character that we have today. And so we have to just remember that. And so the thing about it is that the boundaries and expectations, make them clear, make them concise, and please make them consistent. Kids love consistency. And that is, you can't tell me this day that I don't have a curfew, or you can't tell me that you want me to do this one day and then the next day you don't. And, you know, I have to, I guess I can say this now because I'm not at school, but the Bible does speak of us exasperating our children. Exasperating our children in the fact that we tell them one thing one day and we don't hold to it. Then we move to something else. And so whatever the boundaries are, that they are boundaries that we respect as a family and that we really, really expect for them to follow. And then that last one I had was really just making sure that we are kind, we try to the best of our ability to be the kind of person that we want our children to be. We're their first model. We're all they have. We are what they see as, this is my best shot at what is it going to be like to be an adult. You know, they look at us first. They look to us first. And so that's where the challenge is for us. And so in a nutshell, those are the big eight. And I'm, you know, I want to say to the audience that it's not in a preachy fashion. I'm passionate because these are the things that many of these things I did not come into grips with until later on in life. There are things that I'm still working on, but these are the things that as parents, it gives us a good foundation and a good start. And I think that with kids, all they need to know is that we're interested and we're showing that love. Love is not buying them things. Really, sometimes we can buy them not one thing at all, but if we spend that time, a walk in the park, sitting down on the bench saying, how was your day? Leaving a note. I leave notes for my children to tell them you love them, text them out of the blue when they haven't done anything. You know, they don't have to bring home A's for me to tell them just out of the blue one morning at school when they run across your mind. They may not get it until lunchtime, but text them, I love you and I'm so proud of you. Those are the kinds of things that we can do to keep instilling in them that first and foremost, above everything else, the most important thing in the world is love.
That's right.
So that kind of wraps up.
Yes. Just great information. And once again, we've been listening to Barbara Lashley, administrator of the school system from kindergarten through 12th grade. As promised, she gave us some great information. I hope you all took notes because the information is crucial. Parenting, I always say parenting is the most challenging job there is, and it's the only job you need. No type of degree, no type of experience. You just kind of fall into it. And generally, you know, when you take your baby home from the hospital, you usually don't have a manual to go with them. So it's kind of a on-the-job training. And so Barbara has certainly made it a little easier and a little clearer with the tips that she's given us to be able to be as effective as possible. And it's so important that we all continue to learn as parents and, you know, whether we're going to workshops or something that will help us to be as successful of a parent as possible. And, of course, if you're a successful parent, generally you will produce successful students or children. So that's what we're certainly trying to do. Callers, I must apologize to you that we were not able to get you on this evening. And I know so many of you have sent messages, too, we didn't have an opportunity to get to. So we will see, Barbara, this has been a real popular topic, as I knew it would be, because any time that we are disseminating very good information, we always get great, you know, feedback from it. So we'll see. We'll check with Barbara, audience, because I know you're wondering, is she going to be back? When is she coming back on? And so we're going to check with Barbara and her schedule to see if she can come back on, because we do, and I apologize that we did not have an opportunity to get to the questions, but I really wanted her to make sure that she was able to give us the parenting tips that she did. And if any of you join the show late, you can certainly go back and listen to the archive, and you will be able to hear the entire show. So Barbara, don't want to put you on the spot, but when do you think you can come back to answer some of the questions that we've received?
I feel as though I need to come back. I felt kind of bad because I did kind of monopolize the whole time, but I guess it really is a good way to do it. We got it out there, and so I really feel a sense of responsibility now to come back. And so now that we've kind of put some things out there, of course, if you need me to do next Sunday so that people can kind of call in and we can, you know, more or less, like I say, I'm a parent myself, but I love the idea that we're able to work this thing out together.
Yeah.
And so if people want to call back and ask questions and we actually have a discussion, I think
that is wonderful.
Unless at this point I don't see any reason why I can't.
Let's confirm. Why don't we confirm next Sunday? Audience, you heard it here. We will bring her back next Sunday. And, you know, I value all the listeners, and because you guys are just you great supporters. And when you are sending questions, we certainly want to make sure that we can provide some answers for you. So you heard it from Ms. Barbara Lashley, soon to be Dr. Barbara Lashley, that she will join us again on the 29th. This is going to turn into our school etiquette part 5. And we'll see if we can wrap it up next week. We'll see how that goes. But once again, Barbara, thank you so much for joining us and taking time out of your schedule. Once again, thanks to all the listeners for supporting our show, everyone who called in, even though we didn't get to you. We will get to you next week. Certainly our loyal listeners and those listeners that are joining us for the first time, thanks so much and welcome to the What is Etiquette Anyway family. Remember, if you have an etiquette question or a topic, let us know. We'll do our best to make sure we cover that. And continue to tell your friends and family about our show and invite them to listen. After all, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live. We know we can only do that one person at a time. Okay, remember the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3:3. And as we remind you every week, be sure to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Okay? Thank you so much again for joining us, everyone. Good night. Take care and God bless.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Don't forget to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next week when we'll discuss another exciting topic.